Okay, so we're going to come and have a look again at those verses in Scripture that we had read, those parables that Jesus told. Father God, I pray that you would simply open our eyes and ears and hearts to understand your word and what Jesus said and what it means for us. In his precious name we pray. Amen. So the whole Bible is about Jesus. And among the many things that it tells us about him is the fact that Jesus is king. Jesus is God's king, and Jesus is going to rule the world. That's what people have been waiting for years and years and years. And when Jesus arrived on the scene and John the Baptist before him, they said, "Turn back to God, because the kingdom of God is at hand." In other words, the kingdom of God is nearby, it's on the doorstep. So you need to get ready and start living as though it is already here. But if that's the case, why is it that Jesus needed to use these kingdom parables, like the ones we're looking at this morning, to teach people about God's kingdom? Why did he need to say, "The kingdom of heaven is like someone looking for treasure," or "like someone planting a garden," or "like someone baking bread"? Why couldn't he just point to the kingdom that had arrived and say, "Well, look, there it is, that's what it's like. This is what you've been waiting for"? And the reason is that we needed Jesus to tell us what it is like is because the kingdom of God is not something that we can see with our own eyes. At least not yet. And it's not a geographical or a political kingdom. You can't sort of draw a map with its borders and colour it in. But the other thing about the kingdom is that it isn't fully grown yet. So just as if you're a child this morning, you've still got a lot of growing to do. God's kingdom also has a lot of growing to do. And that means that even though we should be really excited that the kingdom is already here, thanks to Jesus, we're all going to need a lot of patience because there's still some waiting to do. In fact, there's perhaps a lot of waiting to do. Hopefully by the end of the service or a bit later on, we'll see whether this balloon has blown up and whether the bread has risen. But even waiting an hour for that sort of feels quite a long time, doesn't it? But if you think about the people who Jesus spoke these parables to, they'd been waiting for hundreds of years for their king to come. And now he had come and had said, "Well, look, I'm bringing my kingdom." They still had to wait for it to be fully grown. And here we are nearly 2,000 years later, and the kingdom of God is still growing. And it still looks potentially rather small and unimpressive on the surface. It's almost enough to make you think, like me when I was making my bread earlier, that it's sort of never going to get here on its own, that it might need a little bit of help. But the first thing that our passage shows us is that the kingdom of heaven starts small, really, really small, almost invisibly. So it says this, Matthew 13, verse 31, "Jesus put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds.'" Now, I've got some little mustard seeds somewhere. Okay. And I'm wondering if anyone is brave enough to try and eat one. I mean, you know roughly what mustard tastes like, possibly, so here we go. So there aren't a lot. Please don't downhaul. Any grown-ups want to have some as well? There we go. You had some? Does it not? See, they're very, very small, actually. Now, these days, if you go to the garden centre and whatever, there are all sorts of seeds that you can buy. Some of them are actually smaller than a mustard seed. But when Jesus lived where he was, the mustard seeds were most likely to be the smallest. So how do they taste? Are they quite strong or kind of? They taste of spinach, do they? Yeah. See, I was expecting that they were going to blow people's heads off. Like, if you get some strong mustard, you know that it, you know that those little seeds pack quite a punch.
Did you try it yourself?
No, I thought they were going to be so strong that that it would put me off my train of thought. But there we go. Anyway, proverbially, they are very strong if you make them into mustard, certainly. Anyway, the point is that when the farmer sows the seed in the soil in his field, that basically it becomes invisible. You know, the field's big, these seeds are tiny. Some mustard seeds are black, actually, so they'll be even more invisible. And so, you know, as soon as the sort of the sowing is done, there's no visible idea that there's any result there and then. And the story of the yeast teaches the same thing. That's why we were doing our baking earlier. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened, or till it was all yeasty. And it doesn't say that the woman in the story put the yeast in the flour or that she mixed it in the flour. It says that she hid the yeast in the flour. The point of hiding something, obviously, is so that nobody can see it. So her yeast, which was tiny enough to begin with, has all but disappeared. Now, the yeast they had in Jesus' day was a bit different to what we get in the supermarket. It's sort of a bit more like sourdough. But the point is that yeast grows in secret. You don't know that it's happening. And so from both of these things, the mustard seed and the yeast, we learn that the kingdom of heaven also starts small. It grows from tiny seeds being sown in people's hearts. And until the time of the harvest, or the time when the loaf of bread comes out the oven, it can be very hard to see whether it's growing at all, whether any kingdom fruit is being born at all. But the next thing we learn about God's kingdom is that the kingdom of heaven will grow not only quite big, but huge, to fill the whole world. I was going to bring in a picture, but I forgot to bring it, of from when Joanna and I went to the hospital a couple of months ago, but we got given a little picture of a baby that's absolutely tiny at the time. In fact, it started off as a single cell, but has been growing, and we fully expect him, God willing, to grow into a full-size adult one day. Actually, that's not true. We're hoping he's going to stay small and cute forever. But, you know, you get the idea. The expectation would be that he's going to grow into a full-size adult. And what we find is, in this parable, the mustard seed is so small that if, I'm guessing none of you are, you know, full up, you know, none of you are going to skip your lunch now that you've had one mustard seed. You know, if a little bird came and ate some mustard seeds, it wouldn't fill its tummy at all. But once that seed has fully grown, it becomes a tree that is big enough for a whole colony of birds to come and make their home in. And the effect of the yeast in the parable is the same. Even though it was so tiny, it became hidden in the flour, once it gets to work, Jesus says that it leavens the whole lot. The whole flour was ready to make a big loaf of bread, and there wasn't a tiny little bit of flour that had remained outside the yeast's influence. It had got into the whole thing. That is what's going to happen with the kingdom of heaven. It is going to grow like yeast, or like a seed into a great big tree. To use a different analogy, I guess we could say that the kingdom of God is infectious. We cannot help but pass it on. Christianity isn't an inherited trait, is it? It is something that if you're a believer today, if Christ reigns in your heart through faith, you must have caught it from somewhere. Someone must have passed the good news message of Jesus onto you. And, well, sorry to tell you, not only is Christianity contagious, but it's incurable, because once God has chosen to save you, then you remain saved. You remain part of his great family. The kingdom grows. It is simply what it does. And Daniel 2, if you know that really striking dream that Nebuchadnezzar has, it says that the kingdom of heaven is like a stone which is going to grow and fill the whole earth and smash every other kingdom into pieces in the process. And that stone, the kingdom of heaven built on Jesus Christ, it is going to last forever. So then the third and last thing that we learn, therefore, is that we should trust God's way of making his kingdom grow. We should not be like the impatient baker who goes to all sorts of weird and wonderful sort of shortcuts to get there. Because what God has promised, firstly, it is worth waiting for. But next, it does also say that we have a part to play in the kingdom of God growing. It says in these other parables in Matthew 13 that the seed that is sown is the word of God. It's the good news of Jesus that we find in our Bibles. And there's lots that we can do ourselves to help God's word grow in us. So we can read our Bibles and we can pray that as we're doing it, that we will get to know God better through his word and become more like Jesus. And also there's lots of things we can do to help God's word and God's kingdom spread by telling people about Jesus and praying that they will know him too. But the thing is, God's kingdom will only grow through God's way of doing it, through his means and through his timing. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6, talking of him and another worker who told people about Jesus, Paul says, "I planted, Apollos watered," so they're both kind of sharing in the gardening, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." So if the kingdom of God is going to grow, even though we have a part to play as such, God gives the growth, so we need to be patient and trust him. I've never been much of a gardener, but I'm starting to learn, and Enoch's been helping me. And a couple of weeks ago, we planted some bulbs. And unlike the mustard seeds, you know, they're probably about the biggest seed you could plant. They're sort of like this kind of size. And I'm already really impatient to see them grow, because right now, like, it's so impressive. Literally, the garden just looks like mud. You know, there's no sign of any life at all. And what we'll probably find, especially as we go out and talk to other people we know outside the church, is that the word about Jesus, that the good news, sounds quite unimpressive, doesn't it? It doesn't really sound like something, you know, really sort of showy and with all sort of pizzazz and wow factor. The world has got all sorts of instant gratification on offer. It's very different to the Christian faith. But what God's word says is that everything else is going to pass away, but God's kingdom is just going to grow and grow and grow, and it is going to remain. At the end of the age, when God's kingdom is fully grown, the harvest is going to be massive. If you've got a Bible in front of you, you can just look back to verse 23 of chapter 13, where it says, "As for what was sown on good soil," this is from the parable of the four soils, "as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Now, I'm no farmer, but that sounds like an abundant crop, doesn't it? I gave a quick Google to this, and apparently that the best a farmer can expect to sort of get back is a sort of a 30 times increase on what he's sown. But the increase, the return at the harvest at the end of the age of God's kingdom may well be as much as 100-fold. So God knows what he is doing. He knows how to make his kingdom grow much better than we do. So no matter how small and unimpressive Christianity or our church might look on its own, or even, you know, how unimpressive you might feel as a believer in Christ, trust God. Trust that he knows what he is doing. We don't need those sort of silly shortcuts to kind of, you know, get people in and get them to sort of think that they are in God's kingdom. It is about the slow and steady and patient work of letting God's word do its work by his Spirit. The kingdom starts small, but will grow to fill the whole earth. Let's pray for that, shall we, before we sing our final song. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of your kingdom, that Jesus is the King, and that we don't have to wait for his first coming, because he already has come and said that his kingdom is at hand. And by his life and death and resurrection, he has opened the way for anyone, man, woman, boy or girl, who trusts in him to enter his kingdom, to become part of your family. But Father, we know that even now, your kingdom is not it's not fully grown. It may look small, and it may be we have much waiting to do. But Father, we know that one day Jesus will come back, bringing his kingdom in its fullness. And then on that day, the fruits that will be revealed will be huge. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us to trust in your ways of growing your family, and that you would give us strength and patience to do our part and to trust you to give the increase. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.